Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront hit the road last weekend and attended ABFF, the American Black Film Festival in South Beach, Miami. I got a chance to preview several movies, including the highly publicized documentary, Whitney, about the life and career of the late Whitney Houston. I also got a chance to see TV1's first action thriller, Down for Whatever, starring LaToya Luckett, Breezy, Imani Hakim, and Hosea Sanchez. I'll be playing my interviews from time spent with them on set and more. And closing out today's show are my exclusive interviews with award-winning singer and songwriter Keri Hilson and singer-actor Miss Lawrence. The two of them partnered with Fulton County's Board of Health this week for the launch of Stop HIV ATL, a new citywide initiative aimed at promoting HIV/AIDS awareness and prevention. But first, here's this week's casting buzz in entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for men or women photographers of all ethnicities for the new project, Queen America. The actors must be between the ages of 20 to 40 years old and must be available to work on Wednesday, June 27th. If this is you, please submit your name, number, sizes, and a clear photo to Queen America at centralcasting.com with Wednesday in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, watch the first official trailer for Creed 2, starring Michael B. Jordan, at WCLK.com. Life has become a balancing act for Adonis Creed. Between personal obligations and training for his next big fight, he is up against the challenge of his life. Facing an opponent with ties to his family's past only intensifies his impending battle in the ring. Creed 2 also stars Tessa Thompson, Wood Harris, Felicia Rashad, and opens in theaters on November 21st. You can also watch the trailer for Tyler Perry's Nobody's Fool. The film stars Tiffany Haddish as Tanya, a wild child who is trying to get back on her feet with the help of her buttoned-up, by-the-book sister, Danica, played by Tika Sumter. As these polar opposites collide, Tanya discovers that Danica's picture-perfect life may not be what it seems. Nobody's Fool also stars Whoopi Goldberg, Omari Hardwick, and Amber Riley, and opens in theaters on November 2nd. And finally, congratulations to music icon Anita Baker. The R&B jazz songstress will receive this year's coveted Lifetime Achievement Honors. During Sunday night's live broadcast of the BET Awards, Baker will be recognized for her four-decade career as a singer, songwriter, and music trailblazer. The BET Awards airs on Sunday at 8 p.m.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the Wolf Creek Amphitheater, presenting an evening of smooth jazz on Saturday, June 23rd, with performances by Dave Koz, Gerald Albright, Richard Elliott, Rick Braun, and Pieces of a Dream. The evening will be hosted by MC Lightfoot. Food, drinks, and coolers are welcome. Ticket information is available at all Ticketmaster outlets or Wolf Creek box office at 1-800-653-8000.
Hi, this is Karen White, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
In July, TV One will premiere its first ever action thriller, Down for Whatever. The movie was written by Tim Folsom and is the winner of the 2017 American Black Film Festival's screenwriting competition. Down for Whatever stars LaToya Luckett as Tracy, a young successful doctor who has it all except for the traditional family environment. While she is married to her detective husband, Mike, played by Hosea Sanchez, she longs for the love from the mother and father she never had since she grew up in foster care. When Mike suddenly loses his partner in a senseless cop killing, Tracy is there to support him. That is, until she receives an unexpected visit from a social worker who informs her that the ruthless killers are her biological sisters, Denise and Sonia. Overwhelmed and in disbelief by the news, Tracy decides to track down her sisters before her husband finds out. Here's what LaToya says about playing Tracy, who appears to be caught in the middle.
Yes, she's caught in the middle, but she is on a mission to find her family. And she is down for whatever to make that happen. So I feel like when you say she's caught in the middle, she's caught in between two worlds. She's been living this good, wholesome life. She's a doctor, has her own practice, good husband, all these different things, doing well for herself. But there's that one thing missing. And that void of not having a family or really knowing who you come from kind of creates identity issues. And she finds herself in another world, a darker world, with her sisters. Yeah. So I think she's torn. But at the same time, you know, she's found that love. She's found that family, those family ties. Some questions have been answered for her.
This project is also LaToya's first time doing her own stunts.
I love my TV One family. We had fun with Here We Go Again, and I have so much love for them. You know, it's us. You know, it's us, and we know what we like to watch, and we like the story. We know this what stories we you know. I just love the way they do things on TV One. I'll just say that. But this is my first action thriller. Like, I'm doing stunts, y'all. I'm out here being thrown around and stuff. Getting handled. And that's a first for me. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And I know TV One, once everything, you know, comes together, I think this is going to be a great movie.
LaToya also talked about the film being therapeutic for her own real life situations.
I'm learning a lot in my scenes. And I just talked about this. Because in this film, this is about love, unconditional love, no limits, no boundaries to love. And I think that in order to have unconditional love for someone, one, there can't be any unforgiveness, and there can't be, you know, wanting to hold on to things, or there has to be understanding, there has to be all of these different things. And my character, especially Tracy, she's trying to gain a lot of understanding in a short amount of time, but at the same time, she wants that kind of love. She desires that kind of unconditional agape love for someone. And I feel she has it with her husband, but it's a different thing when it comes to your family. You can have a terrible relationship with your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, but it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, they're still your brother and your sister. You know, with your husband and wife, you feel like, or your boyfriend and girlfriend, you're like, oh, I can leave this relationship, I'm done, whatever, I can go find me a new husband. You can't go find a new brother. And I think that that's what she desires, that unconditional love, and something that's a part of her, like a mother, a father, a sister, a brother. So I think for me, even during some of the scenes with between Tracy and Sonia and Denise, there were moments where there was so much emotion in the room, and you could tell these girls had been through some real stuff, and there were layers of unforgiveness and all of these different things. And I found Toya going, dang, there's some issues that I'm dealing with that I feel like this is a therapy moment for me. Like, okay, what am I dealing with that I can't get past that's created this roadblock or made me put up these walls to where I can't even hear or see, you know, love right in front of me? Because Tracy is offering this love and Denise can't even see it because she has all of this stuff built up, these walls and this pent-up anger. So what is it? Toy was having like therapy moments in some of these things.
Hosea Sanchez is best known for his role as the headstrong football player Malik Wright on BET's The Game. Here's what he had to say about playing a police officer and how he prepared for the role.
I've been preparing to play a cop for my entire life. The irony of this is I'd just gotten a gun at home in L.A. 2 days before I got this offer to play. And I was around the house. This is going to sound weird, but I was around the house, you know, ducking behind my walls and stuff, playing with my dogs, you know, while the gun was empty, obviously. But playing around with my, and then 2 days later, I was like, wow, God, this thing really does work. You can manifest something out of nowhere. So I've been preparing for it for my entire life because it's something that I've always wanted to do. I respect our, you know, our service people and police officers for what they do to put your life on the line every single day, sacrifice your individual family to help other people that are in need is probably the greatest gift that someone could possibly give. I feel bad that there's so much happening with cops in our society in today's time because what they do at its core is protect and serve. And that's a job that is not for everybody. So it takes a special person to actually fulfill that. So it's something that I've wanted to play and never had the courage to actually do my entire life.
Chen has also talked about taking a break from Hollywood to get more knowledge about the business of entertainment.
I'd taken a break from acting for a while, for a couple of years, because I went back to school, to film school. After being on the game for such a long time, from I think 24 to 34, I felt like I really wanted to learn more about the business that I work in, because being an actor, it can be very, not one-dimensional, but you're in your own world. You're focused on what you contribute to the process. And there were times where I'd look up and I still didn't know what everybody did on set after all that time, because it's kind of hard to go back and learn after you thrust yourself into the mix of it. So I wanted to learn more about the structure of what this thing is that I'm in, that I'm spending the rest of my life in.
Right.
And so during that time, I realized that I liked other things in this business. I liked other jobs in this business. I appreciated things a lot more. So when I got this, after I finished school at UCLA, I immediately wanted to, you know, use what I learned. And not for the sake of being an actor, but for the sake of experiencing people in their positions, appreciating all, you know, this
world.
And now
you're looking at the lighting.
I'm looking at everything, and I just respect it a lot more than I did before. Knowing that my piece of the pie isn't all that matters to, you know, what we see on TV and in film. So I really was hoping that I would get the opportunity to do some good work. And then when this came across my agents, I was like, okay, well, this is a really good script. You know, it won the film festival during this, the writer's portion of that film festival. It was ABFF, I think.
Yes,
ABFF. Yeah. And so it was just right. And Leah Daniels called, and I was like, okay, great.
Thank you, LaToya and Hosea, for that exclusive coverage. We'll be hearing more from the rest of the cast later on in the show.
Programming on WCLK is made possible in part by St. James Live. St. James Live presents guitarist and producer Paul Brown with special guest trumpeter Rob Zinn. Paul has played with Najee, Huge Groove, and Peter White, and produced George Benson, Al Jarreau, and Luther Vandross. Paul Brown and Rob Zinn live at St. James Live on Sunday, June 24th. Doors open at 6 p.m., showtime at 7 p.m. St. James Live is located at 3220 Butner Road in Atlanta. Ticket information is available at stjamesliveatl.com.
Hey, yo, peace world. It's the Love King Raheem Devon, and you're listening to Ray Cornelius on Upfront.
What does she mean to you?
She's the greatest female entertainer of the 20th century.
So much soul and so much spirit.
There was Lena Horne, there's Dionne Warwick, but if the mantle is to pass to somebody who's got an incredible range of talent, but guts and soul, it will be Whitney Houston, in my opinion. Share my life.
Nobody could touch Whitney as far as singing. He said, Mom, she taught Whitney everything she knew about how to use that voice.
You had three places to sing from. Heart, mind, guts. She learned them all.
She was simple.
She became Whitney Houston when it was time for her to get on stage.
People think it's so damn easy, and it's not.
All of the things coming at her, she just wanted to escape the pressure.
I have nothing, nothing, nothing if I don't love you.
You could say anything you wanted to say to her, what would you say?
I love you, Whitney.
Everybody loved her. She was a little girl wishing upon a star. I was trying to find my way back home.
That was a clip from the trailer of the new documentary, Whitney. It is an intimate look at the life and career of Whitney Houston. I got a chance to preview the film at ABFF and was mesmerized from the beginning to the end. It is a must-see for any Whitney Houston fan and will answer a lot of questions regarding her personal life, her marriage to Bobby Brown, and more. In honor of the film, I went into the Upfront vault and found my conversation with Houston's young co-star from the Bodyguard film, Devon Nixon. We interviewed him last November for the 25th anniversary of the film. Check out a portion of our conversation.
Well, good morning, Devon, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about yourself, my man?
I'm doing just fine. So we're really, really excited around here to have you on and to commemorate the 25th anniversary of The Bodyguard. I remember, oh my God, I remember skipping school to go see the film with my sister. And those characters, the music, and Whitney, of course, just were etched in our minds. And so whenever I see the film, whenever I hear the music, it always takes me back to that time. But you had a very special role in that film. You actually played her son, Fletcher. And let's go back to that. Let's talk about, how did you get involved with that? Because you were like, what, 9 years old when that movie came out?
I was eight years old. So basically I had finished the film. I did my first movie when I was five. And it was a movie called To Sleep With Anger. It was with Danny Glover and Shirley Ralph, and I played Shirley Ralph's son in that as well. It was a fun movie. It got, I think, limited theatrical release, but it did come out. And then after that, I'd been auditioning, coaching. I was actually coaching with Betty Bridges, Todd Bridges' mom at the time.
Okay.
And I got this audition came across, and my mom was like, Bodyguard, okay, interesting. So I went in. I had a read here in Los Angeles. And they called me back the next day, and Kevin Costner wanted to meet me. And so I went in for a call back, and they brought Whitney. And then I read with both of them, and then shortly after, I found out that I had gotten it. But, you know, it's funny, because I didn't know the kind of, the caliber of movie I was in at that point in time, because I was eight, so, you know, none of this had really sunk in just yet, you know?
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool me going into it blind. And now looking at, all of the stigma it has behind it, and, you know, how it's being commemorated and how people just love this movie. And it's like, you know, a classic film.
Yeah.
So.
What was that like? I mean, did you know who she, I mean, cause you have iconic parents yourself, but did you know who she was at that time?
I did. I knew that she was a singer. I knew that. This is so funny. I knew she was a singer. I didn't know that at that time she had one of the best voices of that time, and arguably ever. So it was really, I was just dumb to the whole situation. You know, my mom had told me that Kevin had made a movie. I think he did Dances with the Wolves right before that.
Right.
And he was on his hot streak. So my mom told me, you're going to be working with a big actor and a singer. But I kid you not, I really didn't know the weight that they held in the industry at that time. So I was just going into it as a kid, making a film and having a good time, you know?
Yeah. What do you remember most about her, or just kind of being around her?
I remember that. There's a couple of moments, man. We filmed part of the movie in Lake Tahoe. This is the part where I was at the boat and
right,
the whole cabin scene and all of that. I remember Whitney used to sing, and she was very spiritual. So she, would always sing, you know, just church songs that she and Kevin had grown up on, because, you know, Kevin is very religious as well. So So she would just, you know, just sing to me every morning, read me a Bible verse. And, you know, she was kind of my, she was my guardian on the set, because my mom actually had to leave Tahoe and go back to L.A. So I spent a lot of time with her, and, you know, I was just mesmerized by her as a woman. She was like my second mother, you know, and she introduced me to Christ and, you know, told me God loved me. You know, she was just very spiritual. That's what I remember the most about her.
Join Jazz 91.9 WCLK in partnership with the National Association of Black Military Women.
Smile on my face.
For an evening of celebration and honor for those who have committed their lives to serve the United States. Join us Tuesday, July 17th at Empire Sports Bar in Marietta for a special salute to military women with live entertainment by vocalist Ine.
I'm all choked up. Can't believe you've called my phone.
Ticket information is available at nabmw.org.
Hi, this is Essence Atkins from Marlin on NBC, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Fulton County Board of Health launched its new HIV/AIDS initiative this week, titled Stop HIV/ATL. The campaign is in response to the city's growing number of HIV/AIDS infections and hopes to encourage citizens to participate during this Tuesday's National HIV Testing Day. Data from the Georgia Department of Public Health indicates that 1 out of 6 people living in Georgia infected with HIV is unaware that they are HIV positive. Here's what Derek Wilson, Health Program Administrator for Fulton County Board of Health, says about the urgency and timeliness of this campaign.
When I came and took over as Director of HIV Prevention in October, one of my top priorities, and in speaking with my boss, we really came to an agreement that there isn't enough information in the community about how we can end the HIV epidemic. People were clamoring. They wanted to know, what's the Fulton County Board of Health going to do about HIV? What's your strategy? And there wasn't really clear messaging in terms of our strategy. So we wanted to create a vehicle that would allow us to talk directly with the community about our strategy to end the HIV epidemic in Fulton County. We wanted to do a couple of things. First, we want to talk about the fact that we want to end the HIV epidemic, and that had never been said before, but we wanted to make it clear that we want our goal. We show up every day to work to end the HIV epidemic, but we also wanted to make sure that community understood that it's a partnership it's going to take to end the HIV epidemic. So just one, communicating that we wanted to end the epidemic, and two, communicating how we can end the epidemic was really what got it all going.
Stop HIV/ATL also features the faces of real people affected or infected by HIV.
When we started thinking about the campaign, we had a couple of options. You could do the kind of New York, get your professional models, call agencies and get them to come. We could have, you know, bought images, stock images off the internet. But we really felt like, since this was the first time we're really communicating strongly that we as a community can end the HIV epidemic, that we needed to see that community represented in all of our images. And so we worked hard to find people who are in the community who are, you know, some of them are living with HIV, some of them are HIV negative but on PrEP, some of them get tested on a regular basis. We really wanted to make sure that this was an Fulton County, DeKalb County, Atlanta area specific campaign, and we could only do that by making sure we had those people in the campaign.
Singer and actress Carrie Hilson was excited to be a part of the new campaign, but was disheartened by the rate of new infections.
Well, you know, being from Atlanta, born and raised right here, I felt very responsible to use my platform to help bring awareness to this issue, you know, that plagues our community. The numbers are alarming, and as soon as I was aware of it, as a matter of fact, it's been quite a few years. I remember doing an AIDS walk in New York with like Nick Jonas and Wendy Williams, and years ago, Atlanta, even then, that was probably 9 years ago or 8 or 9 years ago, and we still were leading the numbers then, and we still are. And it's alarming. So I definitely wanted to do my part and step in there and make people aware.
Hilson has built her brand around female empowerment and had these words to say for her fans.
We have to protect ourselves. And that would be my advice to women is, you know, make sure that you're not, you can't let your guard down, you know. We're so sensitive and we're lovers and we believe things that are whispered in our ear at times. And we can't allow that vulnerability to change the entire course of our lives from just that moment. So that would be my best advice to women is like never lose sight of your health in the heat of the moment. Always protect yourself.
Miss Lawrence of the popular Fox drama Star was also eager to lend his voice to the campaign. The triple threat performer attended Atlanta's famed Tri-Cities High School for the Performing Arts and knows the importance of using his platform to help further the message of awareness and prevention.
I've worked with several HIV and AIDS or foundations and organizations. I think we're all in pursuit of the same thing and have been for quite some years now, and that is to dismantle the epidemic. And while I know that that will, you know, we will work on that for quite a while, I expect to see a decline in the numbers and percentiles across the country. And so this particular, and so this particular campaign, hashtag Stop HIV and ATL, was a little more near and dear because it is relating to my very own neighborhood, and that's Fulton County in Atlanta. And that is why, you know, without hesitation, I said, oh, I will be there and I will, you know, speak up.
Lawrence also hopes that the new campaign will help the community fully address some of the disparities that contribute to the growing numbers of HIV infection.
You know, I think in the South period where HIV diagnoses are, you know, on the rise, while numbers across the country have become a little more steady and in some areas have declined, I think in the South period, Georgia definitely being one of the leading states, you know, it's a lot of factors that you have to think about. A, of course, socioeconomics. But I also think, you know, we are part of the Bible Belt states, you know, and I think a lot of disparities, whether health, whether you know, financials, whatever the case may be, a lot of disparities we have been conditioned to not really fully address and only focus on, you know, what's upward and what's shiny and what's, you know, what's benefiting us now. I don't think anybody will ever know the real reason why. That's just kind of something spiritual I've been thinking about when I think about the rise in numbers in Georgia and in the South period, you know.
Thank you all for those exclusive interviews. More information about Stop HIV ATL is available at stophivatl.org.
This is Lisa Arendelle, and you're listening to Ray Cornelius on Upfront.
Closing out today's show are the rest of my exclusive interviews with the cast of TV1's Down for Whatever. Empire actress Breezy and Everybody Hates Chris star Imani Hakim portray Denise and Sonia, two sisters who will do whatever it takes to survive, including murder. Here's what Breezy says about her role.
Denise is a hothead. I mean, she's young, for one. I mean, as any young woman would, you know, finding your way in the world is tough. And giving her upbringing of, you know, rape, and she's HIV positive, and her parents were murdered, you know, it's not the easiest beginning. You know what I mean? So honestly, I think when people, you know, come from such horrific backgrounds, it's hard to actually see a clear vision or even feel like I could be great someday. You know what I'm saying? And I think Denise just does not have that thought. She just doesn't. I mean, it, like, what else, what more can happen besides me dying? Like, I've been through hell and back, and I'm still here, still going through hell. You know what I'm saying? So I think she's just, you know, she's, I think, you know, deep down, I mean, I'm sure she wishes for something better, but she's just, you know, she's someone who's absolutely adapted to her circumstances and just lives by it.
She also talks about the joys of filming in Atlanta.
To come to Atlanta, it feels more home. It feels more like home. It's like, it's comfy. I know where to eat. I know, you know, the vibe is just totally different, but Hollywood is a little bit more, It's not bougie, but it's just different. I mean, because Atlanta, I mean, look at everybody in this room. This is an African-American city. You know what I'm saying? Like, we make Atlanta. This is a place where we know we can come, we can start from the ground up, we can rise to the top, and, you know, we're just so unified in this city, and LA's not the same way. You know what I mean? And so, to an extent, it is cliquish, because you have those who already had it, and, you know, oh, you're not cute enough, or no, you don't have enough talent, or you can't do this, but Atlanta's not one of the places. So to see that film, you know, television, music, everything kind of coming back to Atlanta, I think is the greatest thing, because there's been so much potential in this city all along. So now it's forcing people here. And you gotta come. You know what I mean? So I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that, you know, Swerve is choosing to, you know, just be one of the, you know, major production companies here in the city. So glad to be working with that.
Imani Hakim also dishes about her role and preparing for it.
I play the role of Sonya. You know, she's a badass and down for whatever. And what did I do to prepare for it? Well, it was a really quick turnaround. So I booked it and flew out. Yes, Breezy's in there killing it right now at the photo shoot. I booked it and I just read the script. I watched other movies that had similar feel of the material that we're working with. Working with Breezy has been very beneficial because she's been helping me, you know, bring it out of me, because this is completely different from any role that I've ever played. You know, everybody knows me from Everybody's Curse and Gabby Douglas story, and those are a lot softer characters, so this is definitely new and out of my comfort zone. But I've, you know, talked to people, looked at documentaries about, you know, things that are in that similar world. So just a lot of online research and being, it's good to work with people that you, who are more familiar in that world, and you could just feed off of that.
Hakim also opened up about the similarities she shares with her character.
I think just the problems and the obstacles that Denise and Sonya are facing of just having to be independent at such a young age. I think I myself have gone through that, having to experience the independency and the adversity of what comes with that, and the pain that they're dealing with not having their parents there and them kind of having to raise themselves. I think that is a parallel that, I mean, my parents are still around, they're not dead or anything, but they haven't been involved in my life since I was about 15 years old. So I think that was a parallel that I could connect with my character and my personal life.
Thank you, ladies, for that exclusive coverage. Go to WCLK.com to see more images from the ABFF premiere of Down for Whatever. And don't forget to watch it on July 22nd on TV1. Well, that'll do it for today's show. I would really like to thank all of my special guests, the cast of Down for Whatever, Latoya Luckett, Hosea Sanchez, Breezy, and Imani Hakim. I would also like to thank Devon Nixon, Carrie Hilson, Miss Lawrence, and Derek Wilson, as well as my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next Saturday, June 30th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.